Hey, what's happening, good people? This is your boy Marvin Shaw, and of course we got Deron and we got Mo Lane. And you know what it is? The beard always wins. It's a movement. It's a lifestyle. More importantly, it's a podcast. One we're so grateful and thankful that you all are listening to. And do us a favor. Just hit the like, share, subscribe. Might be a small thing to you, but it's a big thing to us. So with that being said, it's been a while since all three of us have been back on here. But a lot has happened, especially over the weekend. First and foremost, let's give our condolences to those people in Chicago and Philly who lost their lives over these mass shootings. Now, I know we lost six. It was six lost in Chicago. Not quite sure in Philly. But at some point in time, you would think that these well-educated people that sit on Capitol Hill would be able to come together and agree on something when it comes to this. Now, I'm not saying that gun control is the key, but I think it'll help a lot. Can y'all give me y'all thoughts on this?
I'll go first on this because I'll be pretty brief. My stance has not changed. Like, I feel like, I hate to be pessimistic, but I feel like if something was going to change for the better, like a drastic change, it would have already happened. So, you know, I just feel like we keep recycling these same stories and, you know, it's the same conversation. It starts in prayers and it's the gun control conversation and it's, you know, everybody on CNN saying one thing, everybody on Fox saying something else, politicians going back and forth. And in the meantime, what's happening is we're just seeing more and more, senseless killings. So, and I don't even know in this scenario, I don't know all the details, but the one in Chicago, I don't know that gun laws would have even made a difference in this one. I don't know. But overall, you got to do something. And it just seemed like we've been pretty apathetic and we're not doing anything. So,
yeah, I agree with you. What you got, Deron?
This is going to sound kind of harsh. My time's kind of limited, so I'm going to get all my hot takes out early. Yeah, no thoughts, no prayers. Tired of that. We elect, 100 senators and over 400 House of Representatives, let alone all the ones that's with their state legislature. Yo, you got elected for a reason. Do something. Like, get off your ass and do something. Sorry for the language, but get off your ass and do something. The political arena has gotten more about dunking on, more about owning the libs or owning the Republicans or Republicans or whatever you want to call it, instead of actually wanting to do something. So that's one thing I can say about Republicans. We're seeing it more like on a local and state level, if you pay attention to that. A lot of stuff that they've been complaining about, Roe v. Wade was a 50-year fight. They're in it for the long run. Democrats, liberals, progressives, whoever, moderates, they don't get their way within 5 hours. Hell, that's why I'm not voting for you anymore. Like, I seen somebody like voting has never like did anything for anybody. I'm like, okay, keep believing that. Like, it's just like a complete ignorance to the system. But I can understand why people are completely ignorant to the system and mad at the system because the system's not doing what it's supposed to do. But in that instance, I say, be the change that you want to see. I think Mon say this all the time on here sometimes. Be the change that you want to see. If you don't like these people that are running the country, damn it, run. You don't need all that money to run for at the local level. You don't need it to run at the state level. If the people believe in you, the people will follow you. They will believe in your cause. And that's like one of the perks that one of the things that Beto O'Rourke got working for him right now. Like, he wouldn't have had this push if you all didn't want it to happen. Like, people are content with Greg Abbott remaining in their office. He's sticking it to big government in D.C. But weird, they say big government in D.C. when Texas state government way bigger than the federal government. Yes. Way better. Way bigger, my bad.
But you know, the one thing that we always say, like you just said, locally, I've always encouraged people to, at the bare minimum, look at who you're voting for locally. Like, those are the ones who really have a direct impact on your life. Don't really focus too much on Washington. Look at what you got going on locally, because this is who you go and take your problems to. These are the people who are supposed to be working for you. Not Biden or Trump or Obama before him. It's the local people. So That right there, not up. But
case in point, right? So I moved from Mississippi to Vados in like 88, 89. So on Bethune Street and Woodgate, it used to be like, I don't know if y'all remember a time when you could just fly down Bethune and Bunch Street back in the day. And it was this kid that stayed down by Willie Bacon and Hawkman and them around this little blind curve over there where Mr. Hankins used to stay. Kid named Michael got hit with a boxer. People, older people in that community, people that had kids in that community, they walked over to Mr. Rafer's house. I'm like, hey, y'all got to do something. And guess what happened? The speed bumps that pissing y'all off that y'all when y'all ride through Woodgate, that's the reason why you got them speed bumps. Because that kid, Michael, got killed on a boxer by some driver that was speeding through Woodgate.
Yep. And they still speed through there, but...
Yeah.
And I don't get it. I really don't get why they're flying through there, but... it is what it is. But now you mentioned Roe v. Wade. Now, just to clear it up for some of our listeners, because I see a lot of people are somewhat misinformed. But the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade, and they pretty much just put it back in the state's hands. Am I correct on that?
Yep.
All right. So now for those who are against it or for it, this is the time to go and talk to your state senator, your state representative. And speaking of state representative, state senator, I don't know the young lady's name, but she started her campaign early on the 4th of July. You got a twerking state senator up in Maine. It's crazy.
Was it Maine or Rhode Island? I'm not sure it was Rhode Island.
I think I'm not sure, but it's up there. It's up there. So I think, but it's crazy because she's actually up for re-election and she won her election like 60-40. So it's a good chance she'll probably get re-elected again. I don't know.
I got it pulled up right here. Yes, her name is Tierra Mack, Rhode Island State Senator. She was responding to TikTok criticism as she was telling people to go out and vote. She did.
Handstand.
Yeah, I was about to say head down, hopping on that handstand.
Yeah.
She did that and basically was like vote Senator Mack. She facial wise, not to be like real like dirtbaggery, she gives off a little bit of Candace Owens. I thought it was Candace Owens twerking for votes. But other than that, like man, I'm like she's, you gotta do better.
She's a Republican, right?
I want to say so. No. Heck no. You wanna know why? Because it wasn't even a twerk for Senator Mack video. She was twerking while telling people that one of the things that she was gonna pass in the state legislature was to get a bill on the docket that would teach queer education and reproductive rights.
Okay. Rhode Island pretty liberal?
Yeah. It's up there. It's in the New England area. But I mean, you seen this weekend, Proud Boys was marching like crazy in Boston, so that don't really mean anything being in the New England area.
Nah, it don't. The only thing I know about Rhode Island is me, myself, and Irene. I think that's where that was. I think that's what that was. Wow. So just moving right along. Let's kind of get into a little more positivity. But probably by one of the most negative people in the NBA right now, Kevin Durant, wants to leave Brooklyn to possibly go back to Golden State, maybe Miami. Maybe Phoenix. Kyrie may be going to the Lakers. You know what's crazy? We get back to that, but there was a lot of moves made in the NBA. Half the people I didn't even know. But I will say this. If KD's going to go anywhere, bring him to the Hawks. Let's get him to the Hawks.
Of course you would say that.
Wait, what? Where else is he going to go? Charlotte?
He want to go somewhere where he can win, man.
He could win in Atlanta. Listen, if he wants to do something, break the curse of the Atlanta Hawks. Every team.
If he wanna break any curse, he would move back to DC, seek Pleasant, Maryland, and bring a title to the Bullets, aka the Wizards.
him and Bradley Beal?
Signed Bradley Beal to a pretty large contract.
Yeah.
So, when it comes to KD, first, in all seriousness, KD wants to be on a team that has a what I would consider functional leadership, organizational structure that's set up to win. And I think that takes the Hawks out of the equation. Historically, the Hawks have been a mediocre basketball team. I hate to bear bad news, but the Hawks have been a mediocre basketball team for a long time. KD is at a point in his career, he is chasing championships and legacy. So would it make sense for him to go to Miami or maybe Phoenix or even back to Golden State? Yeah, it would make sense because he would have a legitimate shot at winning a championship. In the NBA, you only got about five teams every year that's really, really competing for a championship. So I doubt KD is interested in Atlanta. That's what I would say. Secondly,
man, we give him all the living pepper wings he want from Magic City.
He want wings, rice. He want Chinese takeout and mumbo sauce.
We get mumbo sauce. Mumble sounds good though.
Bro, I'll tell you this though. If you Golden State and you serious about signing KD, re-signing KD, trading for KD, who you trading for? Because me as a Laker fan, like, I don't want Kyrie. Like, I'll do LeBron for KD straight up.
No, I wouldn't.
But if you Golden State, who would you trade? Because me personally, I would put Wiggins, Poole, Wiseman, and three first round.
Yeah, and the way they package these deals now, I mean, I don't even want to speculate because my mind probably wouldn't even come up with the type of deal that makes sense for Golden State like they would. But I'm sure if they wanted to get it done, they could get it done in a way that they would be right back in the NBA Finals. Nothing against Jordan Poole, because I didn't know Jordan Poole was that good, to be honest with you, until this season. And he is a baller. But truth be told, they did everything that they just did without James Wiseman. They did everything that they just did with probably a little more production from Jordan Poole than they expected, because Steph and Klay weren't necessarily themselves all year. So, I mean, Jordan Poole is good, but he can be packaged. He can go.
So, this credit goes to Ryan, because we talked about it yesterday, and he asked the question. He said, "Is KD even worth mortgaging everything to get?" Because
tell that Trump supporter to stop spilling the MAGA glue. KD is worth anything you can trade for him.
But wait.
Yeah, you know, he's not the only person. I heard somebody else say that too, and I'm wondering, like, what's making people say that? Like, why are people even thinking that?
Because KD is an unlikable character.
Okay, well, that. But also, 34, he's been injury prone the last couple of years, right? And it's a lot of negative energy that comes with KD, right? So, at 34. Is he worth giving up your three up-and-coming prospects, the next five first-round draft picks? I wouldn't
Absolutely.
Do it.
Yes.
I wouldn't Absolutely. Do it. I would not
100%.
Do it.
100%. I would.
I wouldn't do it.
He's not even a dysfunction on the team. The dysfunction is Kyrie.
Right. And that's why I say, like, why do people say that? Now, I can understand all the criticism that Kyrie gets, but when it comes to KD, KD got injured. Like, he got injured. Every superstar at some point is going to be injured and miss, you know, significant games. Steph Curry's been injured. Klay Thompson missed two seasons. You know what I mean? And KD played on the same team with these guys that won two championships. That's the same KD.
You know who didn't, though?
I'm not going to hold the injuries against them the same way that, you know, nobody's ready to throw Anthony Davis in the garbage for the rest of his career. He's younger and more injured.
This guy in the Batman set wants to get rid of Anthony Davis.
Yep.
KD is worth it. You're not going to draft anybody in this year's draft, next year's draft. You're not going to draft anybody that's going to give you the production, I would say, for the next 2 years that KD is going to give you. So
There is, au contraire, there is, oh man, I wish I remember the kid name. There is a kid that they are basically calling a 7'3 KD. And they showed some tape of him going doing a 2-on-2 against Rudy Gobert. Hey, Youngin was cooking Rudy Gobert. And Rudy, it got to the point you could tell Gobert started giving like full effort.
I don't know about this kid, and maybe he is the next KD, who knows? But you know, Harold Miner was supposed to be the next Michael Jordan too. So I mean, let's wait and see until he gets drafted, and we'll have that discussion.
Man, you know what's crazy? Hey,
Ron, I got a quick curveball. I got a quick one minute curveball.
Go for it.
Let's talk about a player that's doing all he can to wreck his career. What's going on in Charlotte? Mo, your boy Miles Bridges.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and do this 1 minute. Let's go ahead and get into it. Let's make it brief, though. So it's not just Miles Bridges. You know, he got his domestic violence situation. But over the past few months, like, the Hornets have had a lot of stories coming out of Charlotte that have not been good, like, pretty much basketball distractions. Now, I don't know if y'all recall, but Montrezl Harrell, he got into some trouble. I'll put it like this. It's been a couple of guys basically just doing whatever they want to do. And then you got LaMelo Ball, who hadn't been arrested, hadn't done anything, you know, bad to get in trouble, but he's had some questionable choices of the people that he's hanging around being photographed with. So, and not to mention P.J. Washington, we all know about him.
What happened to P.J. Washington? I don't know about him.
He needs Derek Jeter's father to give him some leadership.
Yeah, get mine caught up later on PJ Washington. But back to Bridges. Bridges is the worst because A, you got arrested, and B, it was on literally the day before you were about to get paid or been eligible to get paid. And I'm not going to speak ill of Mike on an open forum here, because Michael Jordan is the GOAT and he's in charge. But on top of all of that stuff, you got a coach that took the job, then decided he didn't want to coach here. And then we ended up hiring the guy that they fired most recently to bring in a new coach that they just fired. So I'm confused. That's all I got to say.
Well, you know, dang, because he was about to sign with like a $200 million contract.
Oh, he was going to get paid.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder what they were arguing about.
Whatever it is, it's not worth $250 million. So, you know.
He's saying that now. He is saying that now. So, like, on college football, something that kind of shook the sports world. USC, UCLA moved to the Big Ten. That gives them, is it 14 teams now, I believe?
16.
Okay, yeah, 16 teams. They'll be playing in the Western Division. Now, a lot of people are saying, you know, like, gone is tradition. But let me just say, the tradition's been gone ever since the days of the BCS. It's all about money, TV rights. And UCLA and USC, I think that's about, is it 60% of the TV revenue that the Pac-12 brings in?
Yeah, they bring in a large chunk of the what's the name. And that was one of the things that made them want to get out, was they wanted a bigger percentage of the pie. Which, yo, I don't know if we talked about this in the group chat, but I'll share the Reddit, the Big Ten Reddit subreddit. I'm still trying to figure out what Big Ten fans got against Kevin Warren, the brother that's the commissioner of the Big Ten.
This is first year, right?
This is year two or year three. No, year three, because he took over right before COVID.
Okay, yeah.
So, he just fell into this. Like, this would have never happened if USC or UCLA wouldn't have reached out. Like, yeah, okay, cool. This man has the number one, the number two, and the number three TV markets in the country: New York, Chicago, LA. Mm-hmm. If that was Sankey from the SEC, They be asking this man when he gonna run for president.
Pretty much.
So, yeah, lay off of my man Kevin Warren.
So, let me ask you guys this. Does Notre Dame join the Big Ten, or you think they join the ACC? I'm leaning towards the Big Ten.
I don't know, but I don't think Notre Dame joins any conference. I think they do one of those little hybrid deals where they play a semi-conference schedule and they remain technically independent.
But
to be completely honest, like, I know people it's weird to me hearing people talk about all during the season when Notre Dame is ranked, oh man, they overrated, they sorry. But they always want them to join their conference. I'm like, so which one is it? Do you Notre Dame doesn't need the Big Ten. Notre Dame doesn't need the ACC. The ACC needs Notre Dame to stay afloat. Because if the rumors are to be believed, Miami is willing to pay that $300 million grant of rights money to get out of the TV deal with the ACC to go to the Big Ten.
Hey, you know, I guess they pull up from the NIL collector they got.
the funny money collector. Yeah.
but speaking of Miami, Miami, they've been racking up the recruits lately, man. Cristobal he's bringing them in. Now, here's the thing about recruiting classes. People get so hyped up. Oh, we got this recruiting class. But 9 times out of 10, that doesn't take effect until 2, sometimes 3 to 4 years down the line. So I get it, Kane fans, you're excited about it, but most of that talent probably won't develop until the second or third round. Am I right in thinking this, or...
I mean, if they got some, it's just like with Texas, like some of those kids that are coming in, that's like offensive line guys. Of course, apparently they had one of the greatest offensive line classes on paper with this last class, and they got some good ones coming in. And that's why I was saying the last episode, Arch Manning gonna benefit from all of that, because when he takes over as a sophomore, those kids want to be juniors. So they would have had 3, maybe 4 years already in the program under the strength and conditioning and all of that. So, yeah, I mean, unless you got some out of this world talent that's coming in at a position wide receiver or running back or cornerback, people up front, defensive linemen, you won't see any generational talent that's gonna turn a program into a winning program.
Yeah, no, I agree 100% with that, because football is not basketball. So you can have guys in football who, they're special players, right? They come in as freshmen and they are college ready or NFL ready, but that's few and far between. For the most part, even if you are a big time recruit, you need at least one season in college before you're able to transition your star qualities from high school to college. So, you're not going to see it in one season. You might see it in the second season, but most likely you see it in the third season.
Right. So, you got, I'm looking at the recruiting rankings, right? The team that, Miami doing this thing, surprisingly, Penn State is doing that thing. Notre Dame is currently the number one class with, 19 recruits. But we also need to remember, this is July. Kids don't sign anything until December at the earliest and February at the latest. So, but shout out to Sark, because his recruiting class in the last 2.5 weeks has shot from 31st to number 3 in the country.
Yeah. So let me ask you guys this, right? Since we talk about recruits, best freshman defensive player you've ever seen in college football?
Best freshman defensive player?
Yeah.
That's tough.
That is tough.
Can we just keep it specific to the teams that we either played or root for or used to root for?
It don't matter. Have you want to...
To me, the best defensive player I think I've seen that came in to that old Florida State team that I used to root for was Jalen Ramsey.
As a freshman?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as a freshman, like he spent like his spring break, like he couldn't, he wasn't an early enrollee, but he took his time during his spring break to travel from Nashville to attend like all of like spring, all the spring practices. And then he walked in day one of fall camp and was the starting safety.
Yeah, I think I think about Greg Reed, but it wasn't
till you know what, I hate to jump in, Mom, but I was like, there's only two guys that I can think of, and Greg Reed was one of them. Because it's hard to get on the field and make an impact as a freshman, but yeah. Go ahead.
But yeah, Greg Reed, he but it wasn't until like the second half of the season. I mean, he had that for the first game, but the second half of the season is when you seen Greg just like, okay, yep, this kid belongs out there. Malcolm Mitchell, trying to remember his first year at Georgia, not really. He made some plays.
Man. You said Malcolm Mitchell defensively?
Not well. Yeah, but wait. No, he played defense his sophomore year. He flipped back and forth. So no. Yeah. Man, on the defensive side of the ball, it's kind of tough, man, to say. Like,
it is. Like, the only two guys that even popped in my mind that I remember making, like, impact as freshman was Greg Reed. I was number one. And then I remember Jadavian Clowney.
Yeah.
When he was now he actually made an impact as a freshman, and you knew he was different. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you knew Greg Reed was different. You knew Jadavian Clowney was different. But you don't really see that a whole lot on defense.
Yeah, you're right.
He was underrated when he came in. Oh, actually, you know what? I take that back. You know what? Who was it's 25 years past the time when he was a freshman. But LeVar Arrington was pretty impactful as a freshman linebacker at Penn State.
At Penn State, yeah.
Yeah.
He was.
Yeah. He was a dog, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Best offensive player as a freshman.
I'm biased.
Go for it.
Jameis.
He's a red shirt freshman. I'm talking about a true freshman. True freshman.
Oh, that's easy for me.
Adrian Peterson.
All right.
Okay.
Miss two games and still rush for 1,800 some yards that year.
Okay, who you got, Mo?
Legit.
Who did Ron say first though?
I said Jameis, but I was mostly joking on.
And I would say Maurice Claret.
Yeah, Claret was he was a beast. I had Nick Chubb. I was being biased, but
if we gonna say Maurice Claret, then. You might as well say his partner in crime that he decided to leave with after his sophomore year, because Michael Williams was different at wide receiver. Oh, Randy Moss.
Randy Moss don't count. Randy Moss don't count.
To keep it within the state, Calvin Megatron was different at Georgia Tech his freshman year too. Yeah. Even with Reggie Ball throwing him passes.
Hey, have it against them. So look, let's go ahead. Let's get this over under thing. And are we going? Let's see. Hold on for a minute, babe. Give me a quarter or something. I'm gonna go ahead to tails, and we see University of Kentucky. Florida State, over, under. And we're going to go game by game. Game by game. You don't have to predict the scores of the game, just whether you think they're going to win or lose. And let me see. So, Mo, since you're the Kentucky alum, you get heads or tails. Which one you want?
Let's go heads.
Heads it is. So, who you want? What schedule do you want to take a shot at first? Is it Florida State or UK?
You know what? Let's start with Florida State.
All right, Deron, you got the schedule up.
Yeah, according to DraftKings, Florida State they got them at 7.5. it is a cupcake schedule. I see a lot of Florida State fans like puffing out their chest, saying that this is the year that the rebound starts. I'm like, all right, did you look at the schedule this year and the schedule next year? You got I think it started next year. They get Clemson, Miami, Florida, and they kick off the season against Alabama. So good luck with that.
Now, before we get into the schedule, you know, I noticed you said it was a cupcake schedule, and Florida State fans are excited about it. But can Florida State look at their schedule and say any schedule is a cupcake schedule based on what happened last season? Because I would like to think some of those teams are looking at Florida State as the cupcake.
Right. For me, like I seen some people saying that the ceiling is 8-4 and the floor is 6-6. Me, the ceiling is 6-6 and the floor is 6-6.
Let's get into it. Then. All right.
First up, week zero. They play August 27th. They play at home against Duquesne.
Oh, well, that's an exhibition game, so that's an automatic win.
Yeah, I give
him
a win.
All right, somebody keep telling. All right, so that's one, Doug. Labor Day weekend, Sunday night, 6:30 p.m. at the formerly New Orleans Superdome, they play the LSU Tigers under first-year coach Brian Kelly.
That's an L.
That's an L.
Not sure. Even though Kelly does seem to have like this formula to beat Florida State in the luckiest of ways, but I don't know, bro. Like, I think they still got confusion on who's going to be quarterback at LSU because you got Jaden Daniels, you got the Nussmeier kid. I want to say Max Johnson. No, Max Johnson transferred to Texas A&M, but they got like a 3-quarterback battle. And they lost a lot of talent. I think the only talent, only person that's talented enough on offense that I know they bring it back is the Keyshawn Boutte kid.
All right, so what you give
him? I'm staying out of this, bro. You know, I had these dudes going 0-12. Just to get my point, just so my agenda is set. They got a bye week. Then a week after that, they play at Louisville.
Ooh. That's tight. That's tight. I want to say that might be a game that they can win, but I'm going to have to go with an L on it. I think Louisville wins a close game. It'll probably be a really good game to watch, and it might come down to the wire, but I got Louisville.
I give them the L. They're 1-2 right now.
Yeah. Malik's still quarterback there, right? Or was last year his last year?
I don't know. I think he's still there.
Okay. Damn, he did lose 2-2. But he didn't play last year with 2-2, so. And they still beat him, so. But, yeah, Louisville actually doing good on the trail, surprisingly. Yep. Week after that, they play at home against Boston College.
That's rebound.
I'm going to give him another L.
What? You gave him the L against BC?
I'm giving them. I'm not as optimistic about Florida State as a lot of Florida State fans are. So yeah, I'm giving them an L. I think at that point in the season, that's a team that's reeling from back to back losses, and I think they're going to be kind of, you know, they're not going to be together. You might see some dissension within the ranks. The coach, what's his name, Norvell, the guy who got the extension.
Yeah.
I don't know that he'll be able to, that early in the season, suffering a couple of losses. I don't know that he's going to be able to, you know, bring everybody together. So, I got him taking another L to Boston College.
I'm going to give it to him. I think they rebound. They rebound against Boston College. Because if you can't rebound against Boston College, then looking at the rest of the schedule, yeah, you got maybe one or two more victories. But let's keep it rolling.
Hey, Boston College got a hell of a head coach who I wish would take over at Florida State. That's and they Narduzzi, got a seasoned quarterback. Right? Who's that?
His name Narduzzi or?
No. Narduzzi is at Pitt.
Okay.
I can't remember his name, but I know he used to be the DC at Ohio State. Okay. Young kid, young cat too. He about our age or maybe younger. Hmm. But following week, they play at home again against Wake Forest.
I'm giving them the L.
Now, this is tricky. I want to give them the L, but it's that's at home. That's in Tallahassee, right?
Nope.
That is correct.
Oh, it is at home. Yeah.
So I think when they, you know, I'm giving the win on that. I say they beat Wake Forest.
I gave them an L. All
right. Wake Forest is returning Sam Hartman at quarterback. I think they return their backfield. But I think he loses one of his primary targets at wide receiver. So this is an L. And damn, that's a good week. That's October 8th. It's a good weekend in college football. I wish I could travel to Raleigh for this game, but they play at NC State.
I have a NC State shirt, so I'm going with NC State.
Hey, Dave Dorn's my guy.
I'm going with NC State, too.
All right. We can go ahead and chalk this up as an L, but they play at home against Clemson.
That's an L.
That's a loss.
Yep. Even if DJ is starting at quarterback still. Let's see who else they got. Following week. Damn, they got a lot of home games early on. They play against Georgia Tech.
They'll beat Georgia Tech. I'm giving them a W at Georgia Tech.
Considering that Georgia Tech is probably on the same level of Vanderbilt, both academically and football wise, yeah, they're gonna beat Tech.
I will give a prediction on this one. This will be another revenge game for Jeff Sims, getting crapped on by Mike Norvell for Chuba Purdy, who maybe threw 5 passes at Florida State while he was there. He chose Purdy over Jeff Sims. I still think Jeff Sims is a better quarterback. I would take Georgia Tech. I would hate watch that game. the next weekend, they travel to Miami Gardens to play that football team without a home stadium.
Yeah,
I like Miami.
Bro, one of the greatest jokes I ever heard on Twitter was like, Miami had to leave before midnight or they don't get their security deposit back. The next game is at Syracuse.
At Syracuse?
Yeah.
Syracuse is just as bad as Georgia Tech.
Yep.
I give them. I give them a win.
Yeah, I agree. They beat Syracuse. I give them a win against Syracuse.
Yeah, I hate to say it. I can't remember the brother that's the coach at Syracuse, but this is the last season.
Dino Babers, right?
Yeah, Dino Babers with the Beijing. This is last year. Next game at home. Against the Raging Cajuns of Louisiana. Should be a W.
Now, that game is at home, right? Is that a homecoming game? Is that like a...
It's the last game, last home game.
That'll be senior day, so yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be senior day will be the next week, my bad.
I give Florida State the win on that. They'll take care of business against Louisiana.
Yeah, I give it to them, too.
All right. And lastly, they play at home against those thieves from Gainesville, the Florida Gators.
That's an L.
I think Florida wins that game. I don't think either one of those teams will be good teams next season, but Florida wins that game.
All right, so.
I put it to both of you like this. It'll go down like it did last year, where whoever wins this game will be bowl eligible.
There you go.
Well, I hate to say that, but Florida State, by my tally, we give them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 losses. We got them going 4-8. Even with the
that sounds about right.
So we're taking the under.
Now, I think the people who feel like Florida State's gonna win 7 or 8 games are just assuming all of those games where Florida State's name is bigger than the other team. that Florida State would take care of business and just show up and roll out the garnet of gold. And, you know, but this is not, it's in 1993. I don't know. We'll see, but I don't think they're going to win 7 games.
Ward Dunn ain't walking through that door. Derek Brooks ain't walking through that door.
Right.
Hard. Get your jokes on. I want to care, but I can't care. If that makes any sense.
Gotcha. So now let me ask y'all this. How, if you got $50, would you be confident in laying $50 on Florida State to go under, what do you say, 7.5 games?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You already know where I stand.
All right.
Man, I'd rather take that $50 down on Lee Street.
And I think the best indicator of where a program is going is what they've done in the past, especially if the same head coach is in place. I mean, because he sets the tone. And I don't think Mike Norvell has given me, and I'm not a deep Florida State fan, but just looking up on outside, I don't think he's given me any indication that that's an 8-win team next season. But, you know, who knows? Maybe people in Tallahassee know something I don't know.
Like, look at, like, it's a YouTube series. I can't remember. It's either called First and Knows or something, but they basically go through and they critique the coaching job. That coaching staff has lost them more games than they lost them games that they should have won. Like the Jacksonville State game, like caused that Norvell and surprisingly Kenny Dillingham, who's got the homeboy hookup out of Oregon and got the OC job, they lost that game for them. Or they lost the Notre Dame game, keeping Mackenzie Milton in the game. They could have beat Notre Dame that game. So, yeah. It got to get better.
and I get it. Like I've been, you know, the type of fan that'll root for the team and say, hey man, this might be our season, we might turn things around. But unless you have a new coach, right? A new culture, or unless your coach is trending in a certain direction, I think it's just delusional to think that Mike Norvell is gonna all of a sudden make this a good team. But we'll see.
Bro, they shoot. Local media included, but national guys in particular, they shoot this guy so much bail. And I'm like, bro, we watching the same games there. They talking about we seeing improvement. They like, we see improvement in the team. Like, oh, they started, I think they started 0-4 last year. Like, come on now.
Like, improvement from what?
Yeah. I mean, losing to Jacksonville State is like the lowest of the low, and losing your number one recruit. To which they should be kissing that number one recruits behind, because if it wasn't for him, they would have lost a lot of their recruiting plan.
Yeah. Matter of fact, they picked up a big recruit. Dude recruited. He's on a visit at, was it Florida? Then he leaves and commits immediately to Florida State. Like, not even an hour after the visit. Yeah.
Yeah, offensive line. They got a 4-star defensive end from Southern Alabama today.
Okay.
So,
hey,
all right, good luck with that.
Yeah. All right, well, let's see. Let's go on, get on the Big Blue.
Let's do it.
All right.
First game is September 3rd at home against
Hello, wait. Before you go, what's the over-under on Kentucky?
Damn. Hold on, let me pause this game. I gotta look up. While we're picking, I'll go ahead. I'll look up on DraftKings and see what the over-under is.
All right. Week one.
The first game against Miami of Ohio, week one.
I give him a dub.
Yeah, that's good. That's gonna be a dub.
All right. Let's see. DraftKings has the Kentucky Wildcats, odds to win the SEC are plus 5,500. let's see. Oh man, do they even have the odds out for the regular season? I could have sworn they had them up. I have to look some other places. Week two, they travel to Gainesville to play the Florida Gators.
I give them the
dub. That's gonna be a tough game in Gainesville early in the season, but I like my Wildcats.
Yeah. I got them at 2-0. What you got, Duran?
All right. I got them starting. I'll say 1-1. I think they'll lose to Florida.
Okay.
Okay. Now, while we're going through this list, while we're going through this list, I had really, really high expectations coming into the offseason. And then we did have some offseason, I guess, miscues or things that happened in the offseason that kind of made me feel like we're not as focused as we need to be. We had our running back get arrested for a DUI. He's the leading returning rusher in the SEC. And he gets arrested for a DUI. And then we have a couple of wide receivers who are not happy and they decide to enter the transfer portal. So that type of stuff did knock them down a notch. But I was thinking, like, we got 10 games next season. But I don't know. We'll see. But we can get back into it.
Strange enough, let me take this back. Florida State is not 7.5 on DraftKings anymore. They are 6.5. And Kentucky is this is odd. They are 8 straight up.
Okay.
Now, why did you say that's odd?
Because usually they give you they usually play the half point game, like 8.5. Wanting people to take the sucker bet. I'm trying to get people to take the over.
Gotcha.
Let's see. Next week they play at home against Youngstown State. That's a dub. Following week they play at home against Northern Illinois. That's a dub.
Now, if this was 2011?
with Jordan Lynch.
Yeah, I might be a little scared, but it ain't. But anyway.
This one, I will say, somebody keep telling this, I think that game will be tight up until maybe the third quarter, because, I mean, Northern Illinois is way improved from what they were like 2-3 years ago. The following week, they travel to Oxford to play Ole Miss.
For me, I'm giving them the L.
What?
Yeah.
Tell me what makes you say that.
It's, I don't know. It's just something about this game. Like, I think Kentucky probably has a better overall team, but it's something about this game. I can't point it out. I can't put my finger right on it. Well, actually, I can't. They have the quarterback from USC. Can't remember his name.
Dart.
He'll be 3-4 games in, and I think they'll be firing on all cylinders. Probably. This is what I say. If Ole Miss is undefeated, I'm gonna give them the win. But just
I would say. I'm up in the air on that one because it depends on who's starting. Because I'm not sure if Jackson Dart will be, like, if his starting job is in pencil or in ink. Because, I mean, he does have Luke Altmaier back in, like, nipping at his, like, heels. And that kid was, like, top 5 quarterback the year he came out.
That was the dude, Altmaier, he took over for Corral, right? Against.
When Corral got hurt.
Yeah. I don't know. He'll have to show me something to make me say, okay.
Let's see. The following week, my fellow podcast brother, Sleep, my bad. I hate to do this to you, but they play at home against South Carolina. I think that will be a dub.
I got them beating the Chicken Hawks.
That'll be a dub. It's at home, too. Yeah, that'll be a dub.
I will say, this might be the year you want to catch South Carolina because I kind of like what they're bringing in recruit-wise. Tough one. October 15th at home against Mississippi State.
Now, this is where it gets interesting because this game, I think I might go to this game. This game will be, it'll be a revenge game because they beat us last season, even though I felt like we had a much better team, and we ended up losing to Mississippi State last season. So it'll be a revenge game. But Mississippi State has a quarterback that can pretty much just throw it all around the field. So I'm 50-50 on this, man. I don't know.
What's your defense? What's Kentucky's back seven look like?
Oh, we're solid. We got the majority of the guys in the back seven coming back. Our leading tackler, linebacker, he decided to come back. Could have went to the NFL. Jones. We got three of the four guys in the secondary that came back. We're solid.
Okay, because you're gonna need them.
And JJ Weaver, another linebacker from last year, who was probably one of the top tacklers on the team. He came back too. So, I don't know. It's close, but I'm just gonna say because it's at home and because they beat us last season, I'm gonna give Kentucky the W.
All right. What's next? I gave him. I gave him W. I had wrote it down already for me, but yeah, I gave him W.
I'm getting the W because I don't like Mike Leach. Bye week, then the following week they play at Knoxville against Tennessee.
Oh, in Knoxville.
Herndon Hooker.
Yeah, I hate to do this, especially against Tennessee, which is somebody that I just don't have a whole lot of love for, but I think Tennessee wins that game in Tennessee, in Knoxville.
Yeah,
and you know they're gonna make it a night game.
Yeah, I got Tennessee.
That's a rival game too, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. The following week they travel to that to America's anus, Columbia, Missouri, and play the Missouri Tigers.
That's a dub.
That's a dub.
Yeah, that's a dub. Even though I'm trying to remember who the kid, I think they brought in a kid in the quarterback. It might have been the Bohannon kid from Baylor, but he won't make a difference. Following week, they play at home against Vanderbilt.
That's a dub.
Woo! Here we go. Let the sparks fly. November 19th in Kentucky. You're defending national title, Georgia Bulldogs versus your alma mater, Kentucky Wildcats. Let's get it on.
This is where it gets interesting, and this is where I push all the chips in on the table, and I'm going to say it happens this season. That's a dub.
Okay, wait. So you got them losing to Tennessee. But
this is the SEC, man. This is the SEC. If there's one thing I can say, every season in the SEC, no matter who it is, there's a team that should beat everybody and there's a team that should lose to everybody. And at least one time, that team that's supposed to beat everybody loses and that team that's supposed to lose to everybody beats somebody. I'm just saying November 19th is going to be the day that that happens. Georgia goes down. That's it.
So,
no further comment.
If there was, if they were gonna beat Georgia, that would probably be the time because it's late in the year. Who did Georgia play before Kentucky?
Ugh. No idea. I have to look it up. But you talk about anybody can beat anybody. I know it's Vanderbilt, but that might be a trap considering who the next two opponents are, Georgia and then team that you hate as west of y'all. I can see that being a trap game. Y'all are aware, but it'll be tight somewhat. But
I've seen enough SEC football to see that happen. That's not far fetched. Where you end up in a nail biter right at the end of the game for that Vandy game because you're looking ahead.
Yeah, Georgia plays at Starkville against Mississippi State the week prior.
Yeah. So yeah, if y'all gonna catch me, y'all should catch him. But nah, it ain't happening. I just
you gotta remember. You know what, Ma? I said I was done. I wasn't gonna say nothing else. But you know what? Let me say this. You gotta remember too. That last season, as dominant as Georgia was, Georgia had probably one of the best defenses in recent college football history last year. Like I have not seen a better defense in the past 25 years. But as dominant as they were, there were too many teams that played Georgia the way Kentucky played them. When I talk about the score of the game, you go back and look at the scores of the games, the Georgia games.
Yeah.
Who put up who put two touchdown drives together, no matter when they happen, put two touchdown drives together.
Why you got to put that qualifier in?
I'm just saying. They went. Who went the length of the field? Whose offense went the length of the field two times to put up touchdowns on Georgia? Only a couple of teams.
Have you? You must have been looking at Butch Jones. The champion of life mentality.
Now that's my final comment. That's all I gotta say. Just go back and look at the history.
Mo, you just went full Butch Jones on us. You know that, right?
Champions of life.
Champions of life, baby. Listen. if there was one trap game on Georgia's schedule, I won't say trap game because Kentucky always plays Georgia tough, especially in Kentucky. But if there was one game on Georgia's schedule that I was nervous about, it is that one. Because coming from Mississippi State, two totally different styles of offense that you're preparing for. But I still think that Georgia has just a little bit too much. It's not going to be like last year. I think the game will be a lot closer, but yeah, I'm going with the Dogs.
Whoever made Georgia's schedule did them a favor.
Yeah.
But I digress. Last game, rivalry against Louisville at home. Thanksgiving
weekend. That's a dub. Yeah. I'm going to give him a dub.
It's a rivalry game, man. Anything can happen.
Yeah. I'm going to give him a dub, though.
Yeah, anything can happen. That's right. You're right. Anything can happen. We could go for 60.
Okay. All right, what's the final tally?
So, we all agreed on seven total. So, the average is about, 8-4 is what we give them.
All right.
Hold on.
No.
You said we all agreed on seven total?
Yeah, seven total is what we agreed on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. No, I'm sorry. We agreed on 8.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds about right.
We agreed on 8. But I don't know. I think they go 10-2.
I'll say 9-3.
Really? I'm gonna give them 10-2. With the loss to Ole Miss in Georgia.
I got them losing to Florida.
Wait, no, Georgia. Tennessee. I'm going to give them 9-3.
It's interesting that, you know, you said you got us losing to Florida. And I think Florida's going to be a mess early in the season. I think if Florida does anything, it'll be later in the season. But yeah. I think they're going to be a mess.
I just think y'all catching healthy AR-15.
even a quarterback, man. What are you talking about?
From what we saw early on in the season when he did play, he was more – he wasn't a full-blown quarterback, but he was more dynamic. He was more of a dynamic quarterback than anything. Towards the end of the season, he was cheap. And partially part of that is Mullen's play calling, because what he did to that kid before halftime against Georgia, that was fireable. And it was fireable.
You blaming Mullins, because from what I saw, and again, I don't follow him, I don't watch him that closely, but from what I saw, that guy, he looked like garbage. So maybe it is Mullins, I don't know. But I know on the other side of the field, you basically, he's going to be facing a top 10 NFL prospect at quarterback, and I don't think it's going to bode well for either his defense or the way he looks as a quarterback. So I like your confidence in Richardson, man.
Muller just got a little bit of too much Jimbo on him, where one of those things. I mean, and the only difference is Mullen will adapt to who he got at quarterback when it's necessary. Like Kyle Trask, he called Kyle Trask games a whole lot different than he did any other quarterback he had. But yeah, he got a little bit of Jimbo on him, where it ain't the system, or it ain't the system; it's the players in the system.
Yeah, but you know, that's something we're going to have to see. And maybe we talk about it on the next episode, because just like that, the hour is up. All I can say is I'm ready for football season. You know, September 3rd can't get here fast enough, or week 0 for that matter. So with that being said, you got me, Armand, we got Mo, we got Deron, and as always, you know what it is, it's Go Vikings, and the beard always wins. Movement Lifestyle Podcast. Peace.